We already have sung glorious songs and heard the wonderful word of God. I don't know how you feel, but I'm overwhelmed by the grace of God, by the leading of the Holy Spirit. As we look back, and today is the last day of this year, when we look back, how the Lord has blessed and led from clarity to clarity, gave grace, opened doors and hearts, could all be here today who have been reached by the proclamation and have consecrated their lives to the Lord. I don't know if the premises here, if this space would be enough to accommodate all the people. We are so grateful to the Lord, especially for the great harvests brought in the African countries. It seems like the Spirit of God is working on earth, but sometimes here or sometimes there, a little more powerfully, be it external circumstances or whatever. In any case, the number will become full, and then the Lord will come to take his own home. Brother Chombo is here today from Kinshasa, Zaire. When he arranged the last meetings there, we were all overwhelmed. When I came to the big compound and saw the many people, I was of the opinion that the hall was really not open yet. And then I was told it was already filled with 3,500 people, and all the big crowd outside was very saddened. I witnessed or saw for the first time that the door had almost been demolished by these crowds who had come to hear God's word. It was only when we said that we would put loudspeakers outside so that everyone could hear, the crowd calmed down. Even the security forces had to ensure that order was maintained. And one brother was hurt. And then he came to me and said, "Brother Frank, I came to hear God's word. And now the policeman hit me." I just want to tell you this, how great the hunger is for the word of God. We are also thankful to the Lord that we have our brothers in the French language who carry the word to all these countries, and also that it gets there in written form. I believe that we serve 134 countries in total, and that is not a small number. It looks like when we are here together like this and see the simplest hall that exists in Germany, it could be a gymnasium, it could be many things, all kinds of things. If you look at the building from the outside, you really don't get the impression that there is a tower pointing to the sky. We don't have a tower on the building pointing to heaven. But we have men of God here in the front, pointing the way to heaven through the word of the Lord in all faithfulness. Our brethren have proclaimed the word of the Lord even in this place. And for this, we are heartily thankful to our God. We will go into details in the meetings ahead, especially concerning the development of the last 10 years. It is an era that we will not forget. It will go down in the history of the plan of salvation. And as already said, we have arrived at the last day of this year, yes, of a decade, and we are entering the last 10 years of this century, of this millennium. And we ask ourselves what they will bring us, individually or in families, but specifically in the Church of the Living God. Looking at ourselves, we might look around anxiously and wonder, how will it all turn out? What will be the outcome, the completion of the Bride Church of Jesus Christ? If we had to do it, we might worry about it. But it is the Lord who has redeemed His Church, who is building His Church, who calls out His Church, who prepares her, who adorns her, and who will bring her home. He has used prophets and apostles, men of God, to proclaim His gospel. But none of us has saved one soul, or delivered, or healed one person. We preach the gospel. The Lord saves. The Lord delivers. The Lord blesses. We have only the share of preaching. Today, early in the morning, Brother Kukaczka called me from Prague. He sends greetings to all of you, and he had a lot to say and report. There is great joy everywhere about what is happening now. And believe me, just as the peoples and nations have broken the yoke imposed on them and freed themselves from it, may God grant grace that every religious yoke imposed on the peoples will be broken, and that the Lord will grant grace. Glasnost, perestroika, transformation, breakthrough to the full gospel and full restoration of all things as they were in the early church. We believe in this. We believe that the Lord will complete His work with great power and glory. And let this be also noted in this place. Just as things have been happening in recent days, one thing happened after another. Every day we could see that something was happening. When we think of the Prague Spring a good 20 years ago, and then all the things that happened in between, then in recent times, the greatest upheavals have taken place in rapid succession. Beloved, the work of our God, once it begins, things will come one after the other, one after the other, and we will have trouble to follow it all. What is important is that we go along with it, that we take part in it. The Lord will still have the greatest triumph, for this is worthy of Him. I've said it many times. When our Savior died on Golgotha, it looked to men with earthly eyes, as if everything had come to an end. The man of Galilee had failed, and those who followed him were scattered. He had not failed, but it was written in the prophet Zechariah, "Strike down the shepherd, and the sheep will scatter." Every word of Scripture had to be fulfilled. But in the hour that outwardly looked like the greatest defeat, God gave the greatest triumph, indeed the greatest victory on Golgotha. There he reconciled himself with mankind, has broken down the middle wall of partition, torn in pieces the letter of requirements. He brought peace to those who were near and to those who were far. Those who were near were the people of Israel. Those who were far were the nations. God has brought us peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It may look the same in this time. A small crowd scattered here and there. No influential persons. Here no one appears with reputation, rank and name to attract the people. But one thing we may say, in this place we have given the first place to the Lord. He is to be the center of attraction. He the center. He Alpha and Omega. And we know that it is written, "He who began the good work in you or in us, he will also finish it, finishing it unto the day of Jesus Christ," not before the time, but all things at the time appointed by God. What a grace that today we see the plan of salvation of our God more clearly than it could ever be seen. That today we see this divine plan of salvation realized before our eyes, even reaching completion. All this is an indescribable grace. We also have touched upon the thought many times that God made promises to his people who placed their faith in these promises and anchored it in them. People who experienced God received promises, kept his word, and carried a living hope in their hearts because they had an encounter, an experience with a living God. How beautiful that the Almighty, the Holy One, comes down and reveals himself to people of whom he knows that they will believe him, trust him, and follow him. What he tells them, they will do. Beloved brothers and sisters, we cherish it as a privilege to be gathered before the face of God. Our meetings are not framed with a varied program, as is so common. From the beginning, we have given priority to the word of the Lord. And yet, allow me to say that today we will still rejoice about all the singing, be it individuals, be it the choir. Whoever has rehearsed something, let it be known to us, For the Lord also speaks to our hearts through the songs. But we are not practicing framing of time here, but we want the Lord to be honored and glorified in everything and to come to His right. If everyone felt as I do, then we could already worship. Then we could already thank God and praise and glorify His name, for He has done great things for us. The lines are fallen unto us in pleasant places. We have received a goodly heritage. Is there anything greater than God revealing Himself to a human being and making a child of God out of a child of man, transforming our hearts and uniting them to Himself, instilling obedience in us, making us willing to follow Him? And all interpretations, all explanations, all traditions, no matter how Christian and religious they may be, we must turn away from them and let the Word, yes, the Holy Scripture alone apply. As we heard a few times last night, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's Word remains forever. And Peter says, this is the Word that we have preached to you as the Gospel. No other Word, no other Gospel, but the Word of our God as the glorious Gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me read some scriptures. I am moved that it is the last day of this year. I am moved that God has been so visibly, tangibly with us, and we believe that He will be with us until we see Him. Let me read from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, from verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Rivers of living water should flow after the Spirit was poured out and the believers would be filled with it. It was to overflow, not just a little, but the fullness. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He has the fullness. He poured it out at Pentecost. Brother Branham once put it so beautifully. He said, all that God was manifested in Christ, and all that was in Christ was then poured into the church, was laid into it. Beloved, the church forms the body of the Lord, and Christ is the head. For this reason, the same life of God that was in the head is in all the members, and in these members is divine life, eternal life by grace. This too we have already said. In the living body of Jesus Christ, there can be no dead members. The prophet Ezekiel saw the dead bones at that time, and he was asked, "Can these live again?" And he said, "Lord, you know it." And then came the answer, "Speak to these dead bones and tell them that they shall live." And the prophet spoke what the Lord God commanded him, and it came to pass before his eyes that life came into these dead bones, and they stood on their feet. Beloved, let us not look on ourselves, who we were dead in sins and trespasses, far from God. Let us look to the Lord, who gave his word, who shed his blood, who came to redeem us and to give us life from God. Let this word be addressed especially to all who have not yet consecrated their lives to God, who do not know of a day when they met God and had a personal experience with the Lord. He has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls." In these meetings, God wants to speak to everyone, no matter what their spiritual status may be, whether saved or not, believer or not, child of God or not. The Lord wants to speak to everyone. That is why we are all here. And may one of the words penetrate every heart and accomplish what it was sent to do. In John 7, from verse 14, or maybe from verse 15, here it says, John 7, from verse 15, "And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man the scriptures, having never learned?" When I read this word, gratitude arose in me. True prophets did not learn in a class what God had to say to them or wanted to speak through them. They were connected to God. They were taught by God, inspired by the Spirit. And here it says, "Where did this one get the teaching of the scriptures, although he never learned?" They didn't even know who it was that was speaking to them. But look around you today. No knowledge of the scriptures in this or that denomination. No knowledge of the scriptures in this or that religion. But taught by God, and consequently, and I'm not saying this out of arrogance, I say this for the sake of truth. Those who have been taught by God know more than all the scribes put together. And I believe that we, as the Church of the Living God, also owe the Lord much thanks here. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "Among you are not many wise men, not influential persons. No, what is considered foolish by the world, God has chosen to bring to nothing what is high. You might ask, why God does this? I can tell you. He gives His honor to no one else. He alone teaches us. He alone provides for His work. Let me read on from the prophet Isaiah. One single verse, but very wonderful. Isaiah 33:2. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for Thee. Be Thou our arm every morning, our salvation, also in the time of trouble. I may say, as the psalm writer said, the right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. O Lord, have mercy on us. In You we hope. Be our arm every morning and our help in every hour in the time of trouble. Our help comes from the God who created heaven and earth, from the Almighty God, who is able to help in every situation, and who has said, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will save you, and you shall praise me. Also today, we want to keep in mind the promises that God has given, and for that, I want to read from 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, from verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, from verse 18. But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Not yea and nay, but yea and amen. The word of the scribes can be this way and that way, but the word of God, proclaimed unmixed by the mouth of His servants and messengers, is not yes and no. It is yes and amen. For this we are also grateful to God. Verse 19 says, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay. Amen. He is also not yes and no. He is yes and amen. He has begun. He will finish. The word is not yes and no. He is not yes and no. Otherwise, we would not know where we are at. He and His word is yes and amen. Praise be to His glorious name for that. And in Him and His word, we are anchored. And therefore, we too are not yes and no. We are yes and amen, born again as sons and daughters of God to a living hope. And should anyone still be in doubt, so may this hour serve to remove the doubt and have an experience with God, as it is written in this book, so that all uncertainty is taken out of us, and we can say, His Spirit bears witness to my spirit that we have become children of God, that we can say, we have passed out of death into life, that we can say we were lost, but have been saved by grace. Then it goes on in verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Here too we say, Lord, give us what our brothers and sisters experienced in the beginning, filled with the Holy Spirit, bearing the divine seal, knowing that we are God's own possession. Beloved, at the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, these things will play a very big role. In Matthew 25, we are told that those who were ready went in to the marriage supper and the door was shut. But before that it says that they filled their lamps with oil, that they took jars with them to refill. May the Lord have mercy on us, that we may be wise virgins, having oil in our lamps, oil in our vessels, having received the earnest, having been anointed with the Holy Spirit. It is written of Jesus Christ that he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and went out to heal and so on. This is how Peter puts it in the book of Acts. Now, the church is to be anointed with the same Spirit, to continue the same ministry that Jesus had. That is what it's all about. The continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ. He was anointed. We too need to be anointed to continue the ministry with divine authority. It was said of him, he speaks powerfully, not like the scribes, but with divine authority. This should also be said of the empowered church, that here not lectures are given, no lectures are read, but that God can speak to us through his living word. And blessed are all of us who understand that God speaks to us in such hours. Blessed are all those who are focused on the job when the word of God comes to us, that our thoughts may not wander in the world, but that we are in the matter here, and then join in later, so that the full blessing of God may simply flow, and the Lord may give the breakthrough by grace. There are words in the Old and New Testament that can simply be related to this time. And I want to read from the prophet Haggai. You all know, our Lord could only read from the Old Testament because there was no new one at that time. And so did the apostles. The letters were then written, and that is how the New Testament came into being. Let me read from the prophet Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4. Maybe we read up to 9. Haggai, chapter 2, verse 4 to 9. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord. And be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land. Not only two who had a ministry, but all who had a part in it were to be of good cheer, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Sometimes it might be asked, is there any point in preaching, writing, printing? Yes, there is, and I wish that more could be done. For the Lord himself says, work until I come, or work as long as it is day, because the hour or the night will come when no one can work. I wish that the work of God would really begin, that all this, up to now, might have been preparation and introduction. Listen to what is written in verse 5. According to the word or promise that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt. One might take the trouble and calculate the years that were in between when the Lord made this statement. The promise that I made to you when you came out of Egypt remains. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. The promises made by the Lord at the beginning of the New Testament church remain until the work is completed. The Spirit of God that was poured out at Pentecost remains poured out and does not need to be poured out a second time. Just as Christ does not need to be crucified a second time, the Spirit of God has been poured out, heaven is open, and the Spirit of God rules in our midst. And whoever opens his mouth, God will fill it and also his heart. One does not need to pray for the outpouring of the Spirit. You only need to pray to receive the Spirit that has been poured out. Do we understand this? We are living in the day of salvation, in the acceptable year. The trumpet of the gospel sounds, and all who listen to it go out freely and return to their possessions. The promise which I have made unto you, not a man, which I, the Lord, gave you when ye came out of Egypt, remains. So my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. How many believe that the Spirit of God rules and works in our midst? Then fear not. There is no fear in love. We must once for all understand that all fear must be put away and faith, which is the victory that overcame the world, animates us, and that we can say, as Paul said, I believe, therefore I speak. The word of the cross is a word of redemption, a word of faith, because that's where it happened, what we can still experience today. Please continue to hear from verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Every time when the thus saith the Lord goes forth, we may well experience that it goes through all our bones and marrows. Not the prophet said it. God spoke it through the mouth of the prophet. God's word remains God's word, whether it is proclaimed through the mouth of prophets or apostles, it remains God's word. And may also this scripture be fulfilled, that we are ambassadors in Christ's stead to bear the divine message duly. For the word of our God is certain. It is not yea and nay, it is yea and amen. I want all to know it and take it to heart. The word revealed to us, often referred to as the end time message, because it deals with the things promised for the end times. Let me say clearly that every knowledge, every teaching, every revelation of the Word is not this and that, not yes and no, but yes and amen to the glory of God. Do you all believe that? Then just say amen loudly. After all, it's God's word, and we have added nothing to the word and taken nothing away from it. And because it is God's word that we proclaim, therefore it is yes and amen. We don't have a message of William Branham. We don't have a message of an Ewald Frank or any other man. We have the divine message that men of God, driven by the Holy Spirit, wrote down, and then others, driven by the Holy Spirit, proclaimed. And we are grateful to God that it is the same Holy Spirit who rests on us, the same anointing, the same inspiration. And that's why we say what the apostles said, and preach what they preached, and teach what they taught. And that's why we know it's true, because it's consistent with the Holy Scriptures. Hallelujah! Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. If there are any people here who still have a yes and a no, we have a plea to make to you. Do not sin against the Lord and not against the Word of God, but become believers in Jesus Christ and in His Word from the heart. He is not yes and no. That's how we read it. His word is not yes and no. His promises are like Him. Yes and Amen. How many have the desire to carry this blessed faith within them, to no longer be plagued by doubts, but to sing the songs of victory of our God in the tabernacles of those justified by God? There are such people on earth who have experienced God, and this experience has led them to have fellowship with Him and to receive His word. Please listen still to what is written in verse 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. We know that God has given us peace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Yes, that we have been reconciled to God. That too is not yes and no. That is yes and Amen. Beloved, let no man offend God and question what He has said, what He has promised, and what He has given by grace, but believe from the heart. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former. Yesterday we spoke of the temple of the Lord, the house of our God, in the New Testament. And I want to read briefly from Haggai chapter 2 some verses. Here it is written in verse 15, "And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord." I cannot read it all. There is not enough time for that. We may look back to a time when the fruit was not abundant. We are grateful for what has already happened, but we want to get into that phase, that stage, where we reap more than we sow. You all know the law of reproduction. If someone sows 100 weight of wheat, how much does he reap? 10 kilos? No, he reaps some 100 weight. Who is a farmer? He should know it exactly. I have known it once. But I just want to make this comparison. May God grant grace that not only is sowed, but that an abundant harvest, blessed by God, may be reaped. And I would be happy if it wasn't just tens of thousands, if it were millions. Is anyone against it? Is anyone against it? When the Lord spoke to Abraham, He said to him, "Look up to heaven and count the stars." And then came the answer, "As innumerable as the stars of heaven shall be thy seed, and as the sand on the seashore." I am one of those who believe that the death of our Lord on Calvary was worthwhile. And as I said here recently, the harvest will be reaped in the end. In Matthew 13, you can read it. The harvest means the end of this world time. and God will even send angels to help so that it will be brought in well. Angels are ministering spirits sent out for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. There are still many supernatural things that will happen here on earth in the Church of the Living God. Let us be prepared for that. The New Testament began with supernatural things. The birth of our Lord was supernatural, but it happened here on earth. The child to be born of you is of the Holy Spirit. The whole redemption, yes, our Redeemer, everything started supernaturally. There were those who were the heavenly hosts and the angel who made the announcement. Christ is born to you today, the Lord, in the city of David. And the heavenly host were suddenly over the place near Bethlehem, where the shepherds were, and they sang, praising and glorifying God. Glory to God in the highest. They sang beautifully, for they were here on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth in the people of God's well-pleasing. It began in a supernatural way. God became man, the Word became flesh, supernaturally, but it took place here on this earth. Beloved, we count on it and we believe in it. God is a supernatural God. And just be honest now, even all the gifts of the Spirit, even salvation, is a supernatural process. But we experience it very personally here. If I were to ask any of you, how did salvation take place in you in detail? Who can explain it down to the finest and smallest detail? You could tell me, the Spirit of God came upon me. God spoke to me in the sermon. Then I repented. Tears began to flow. My heart was seized. I called upon the Lord. You could tell me many things. But if I were to ask you, and how did the new birth happen in you? Then you would not be able to say it. You can only say, I have experienced it. It has happened. I know it. It is the same with the baptism of the Spirit, with all spiritual gifts, supernatural experiences here on this earth, in the people of God. And we have to really experience that, not just hear about it, but have a part in it. Our God is a glorious God, not yes and not no, but yes and amen. In the last church age message to the church in Laodicea, and you all know, because of the seven church ages, Laodicea is the last church age. And here the Lord presents himself to us as the Amen. I am also very grateful to God for that. Revelation chapter 3, just verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He, the Amen, in him all the promises of God are yes and amen. Also for you and for me. In these days, we do not only want to think about what others have experienced with God. We want to experience God. Oh, that we might succeed in opening ourselves in faith, in beginning to praise and glorify. A songwriter sings, "Count the good things that God has done for you, that meets you along the way. Count the good that God has done for you. Remember the day the Lord called you." Let us also look back, not to go backwards, but to remember what God has done. How often has He helped us, has been with us in all dangers, protecting us. He has given grace upon grace. We too can testify that out of His fullness we have received grace for grace. There is one more word, also in the prophet Haggai, in the same chapter that I actually wanted to read. Haggai chapter 2, verse 21, and a part of verse 22. "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them." Did you read with me? "And the horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother." We have already mentioned it. What Daniel said, God overthrows from the thrones. He puts kings on the throne and He dethrones them. God directs everything. And I will tell you why. He is the King of kings, and all earthly kingdoms will pass away, but the kingdom of God abides forever. And we could read from the prophet Daniel, where it is written, "In those days God will raise up a kingdom that will have no end, and all other kingdoms will be destroyed and serve it." And then when we go to Zechariah 9, it says, "Then shall the Lord be king, the Lord alone." Oh, all these things are within our reach. We will, God willing, put down on paper the timetable of our God, so that we can show the individual the sequence of things with the help of the Holy Scriptures. I said it earlier, it is just a wonderful time. All the mysteries have been revealed. What was hidden has been brought to light. It is not the time of interpretations, but the time of the full revelation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. For this too, we are grateful to the Lord. Today, however, or in this generation, people hold handed down knowledge as true and the original Word as not true. They have reversed the roles, but God will give grace for His true word to surface once again, to be put upon the lampstand, and thus people will be given the opportunity to make their decision. How many agree with me that we, as the redeemed, would like to see the realized redemption of Calvary in our lives and that it becomes a reality? Say Amen. How many agree with me that all those who are delivered by God experience their own personal deliverance to serve the Lord according to the scripture, whom the Son sets free is free indeed? Say Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How many agree with me that those already healed on Golgotha take their healing home with them, experience their healing, no longer asking and begging, but thanking the Lord for it in faith? Say Amen. And this point is very important, namely in view of the fact that the sick are generally despondent and cannot really believe, and that is why we have to intercede for them. I will just give two examples, one general and one for the believers. When the four men uncovered the roof and laid the sick man down before Jesus, it is written, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, your sins are forgiven. He did not see the faith of this man. This also exists. But there are also those who believe for others. Can you believe for others? Has the need of others become your need? Can we put ourselves in the shoes of others from the heart? May God grant grace to it. And then there is James 5, where believers have the elders called and anointed with oil and then being prayed for. And there it says, the prayer will help the sick person and the Lord will raise him up. He that can believe himself, believe. He that cannot, let others intercede for him. But all shall experience the salvation of our God and deliverance and healing. The full gospel includes everything, soul, spirit, and body. And this is not only preached here, it is experienced here. May God grant grace for this. I might add that it is not about us who preach the word. How many times have I said it? The proclamation is there to bring the audience into connection with God. And may this happen through the proclamation of His word, not in connection with a man who only passes on the words of God, but that the connection is made with God. How many feel that God speaks to us? How many feel that His Spirit is in our midst? How many feel that the time has become serious and that God wants to reveal Himself? And so I ask you from the bottom of my heart, not to be as dumb as the chairs on which we sit, but to praise the Lord. I am also grateful to my God for this. When I was still in the flat today and heard singing and music here, do you know what I did? I thanked the Lord that this tabernacle is not in the middle of the city where people could complain to the right and to the left, but that it is here in the open and that we can freely praise God here. And if we don't, the stones will. Oh, we have reason and cause to serve the Lord like no other people on earth. For God has graciously visited us, praise be to His holy name. And all that has breath, praise the Lord. And whoever has not yet consecrated his life to God, let him do so today. And whoever feels drawn and pressed, let him come forward, and we will pray for you. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Thanks be to God for His holy word. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God for the revelation of the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for all that He has already done and will continue to do. We put our trust in the Lord. And he who was lukewarm and sluggish, let him be fiery and serve the Lord in the Spirit. He who would serve God must begin today. Amen. Let us stand and sing Just As I Am.
Dein Blut wäscht mich von Sünden rein, o Gottes Lamm, ich komm, ich komm.
Beloved, whether we have come to the front or not, the Spirit of God is ruling in our midst. The presence of the Lord is here. Perhaps even in the pillar of fire, we feel, we sense the presence of the Lord our God. And once again the call, whoever wants to serve the Lord, to consecrate his life to Him, do it now, today, today. You have heard His voice. Today, the Lord God has spoken to you. Today, He has called. Today, you have come. Today, God wants to reveal Himself to you in this place, in this moment. Praised and glorified be the name of the Lord. Forgiveness, deliverance, redemption, healing, be it granted to all by grace in Jesus' holy name. Lord, the year of Jubilee is proclaimed, the freedom of our God to His people. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God! Praise be to God! Hallelujah. It is already done. It is already done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise His name. Praise Him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Keep on praying. Give thanks. Give praise. Glorify the Lord. All the earth is full of His glory. Hallelujah. Lord, You are a living God, a faithful God. Realize Your redemption in Your people. Deliver the delivered ones. Redeem the redeemed. Hallelujah. Heal the healed, confirm Thy word, and glorify Thy holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God.